Malcolm Forbes once said that failure is success if we learn from it. Tune in twice each month to The Shelly Show as co-host marketers Shelly Iverson and Nate Ebert interview successful business owners who share their failing forward marketing strategies and learn how to master digital marketing, Google Ads, and SEO. Let's go to work. Hi, I am Nate.
And I'm Shelly.
And together we are The Shelly Show, which is sponsored by Shelly Social Media for all your digital marketing needs. And today we are here with Paul Stokes. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your business, Paul.
Hey, I'm Paul Stokes. I own an American Family Insurance Agency on the east side of Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And there's quite a journey getting to where I am now, but that's what I'm up to now.
All righty. Excellent. So are you like the owner there, or are you just one of the agents that within there?
Yep. So I am the owner of the agency.
Okay.
As of about 3 months, actually. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. It's new and it's exciting and it's going well. I was an agent in another agency, like you kind of described, for 4 years, and then I earned the taking over this agency I'm at now that I own.
Okay. Well, hey, that's awesome. Congratulations. It's still pretty recent. Glad that everything, you know, with the chaos of now, I guess, 2020 has been awesome. That it sounds like everything's still going pretty well for you with it.
You know, I'm lucky in this situation, you know, that we've all been going through. I'm lucky that I just didn't invest in another business that depends on people walking in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book of business of customers that, you know, they still need their insurance. And luckily, things are cruising along pretty much the same before this pandemic.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. Excellent. So just kind of in keeping with theme with this podcast, it sounds like, you know, you're doing very well, working on the east side of Madison. But just kind of transitioning a little here, what would you really consider to be either your greatest failure or greatest blooper that really kind of helped you grow within the business and really helped you kind of become the success that you are today?
Well, you know, I did start a business. It's been close to 15 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
In a sporting goods store. It was called Stokes Sports, and it was in Wanakee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it was kind of the dream to own my own business, and I'm a sports guy, and I thought it would be cool, and invested a lot of time and money and effort in it, and really the mistakes I made were starting too big and too broad. Tried to kind of be everything to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Took on too much overhead, and I really, you know, the 2008 recession didn't help, but that's mm-hmm. not really why I failed. I fell on my face just for a number of reasons. And there's some positives to pull out of it, even in what I would consider my failure. But ultimately, I could never get the cash flow and generate enough revenue to make it a viable business. And the upside, running it in a rosy picture, didn't look too great, and ugly looked mm-hmm. really ugly. So I pulled the plug.
Okay. Oh, man. Was it just not getting clients in, or just a matter of the, you know, lack of interest, or did it just...
My overhead was too high, right?
Okay.
If I could do it all over again, I probably would have gone and worked in a store similar to what I wanted to own.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I made minimum wage or even volunteered, I should have spent some time inside that business just to learn and get a better feel for everything.
Okay.
But then just taking on too much overhead. I did pretty good the first year for my projection's sake. Mm-hmm. That was 2006. And then at the end, the second half of 2006, and then 2007 was decent, and then 2008 hit, and people just stopped getting their credit cards out. So it was, it was tough to be in the business I was in, but I feel like if I would have started with a little more education inside that business and started with less overhead, and started with a focused niche, I think, you gotta have a niche, right, in the market. And that just makes everything more simple from marketing to inventory to everything. If you're focused on a specific niche and a specific customer base, instead of trying to be all things to all people, because you don't want to lose a sale. I think that's a trap people fall into. And I just bit off more than I could chew and just could never get it up going. My customers loved me. There just wasn't enough of them and enough of them spending money.
Gotcha. Yeah. Especially starting out right before an economic crisis, you know, like we saw in 2008. I mean, that's a rough draw no matter who you are. And in that kind of situation, it can't, obviously didn't end well, but what was something that you really kind of took from that? Like, it sounds like, you know, you've really kind of learned from that, you know, blooper failure there. What lessons did you take from that kind of made you into like a more successful person on the business side?
Well, you know, those things I mentioned, like controlling overhead, making sure you're not taking on more overhead than is necessary. I did a lot of bad decisions on marketing and advertising, just kind of throwing money at ideas, you know, trying this and trying that and trying the other, saying yes to a lot of people saying, hey, you can put your business on this poster, or you can be on this print ad, or you can be on this. And, you know, a lot of the times when you're making these decisions in your mind, you're like, oh yeah, I'll be on that and be in front of them. And I think it really takes methodical approaches to marketing. I think you have to have a clear message. And I think you have to fill a bucket before you try other things. Like, you need to commit to a strategy.
Right?
Too often you try something for 2 or 3 months and you're not seeing results, so you bail, and then you start something else and try 2 or 3 months and you bail. But if you have a really thought out, well executed message and plan, you kind of got to stick to it and see it out to the finish. Give it time to take traction and be effective.
Right. Yeah, Shelly, it sounds like you probably could have helped him out back then.
Yeah, we see a lot of that. We see a lot of that on Shelly's social media quite a bit, where there's people that want results like right now, or they want to try this, and then they pull from that and want to try this. And, you know, so we really try to work with people and you sit them down with the strategy before we even move forward with them. So, yeah, I can see where that lesson, and a lot of new business owners, I notice, like, anytime we work with a startup or something, we notice that that's a familiar trend, shall I say.
Yeah,
I think last week Kathy mentioned something about somebody starting out a business and they didn't even have a sign yet for it. So I think a lot of it really, you know, you need to have the kind of that plan, or else you're going to end up grasping at straws when you're kind of coming down to the wire here, and you need to be able to market yourself, but there's just, you know, it's not going to produce enough income to really handle that overhead.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll eventually go in this conversation, I'm sure, about what I feel is some keys to being successful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, so I guess what, you know, outside of kind of what you've mentioned, what would you say would be some advice that you would give to someone that's kind of just starting out a new business, maybe has a little bit more overhead than they should and really is trying to kind of make ends meet with it? What would you really share with them?
Well, dive in there, get some experience first, educate yourself first before you dive into the business. Just because it's a hobby or just because it's something you love, doesn't mean that that's going to turn into a successful business. Okay. So I would say first, get in there, work for someone else, work for someone you look up to, and try and learn as much as you can about the business before you jump in with both feet. And then even if you have the experience in a business, having a plan, setting goals, tracking your progress on goals, and really the goals, it comes down to why. Like, if you don't have a strong why of why you want to be successful or why you want to achieve certain goals, if there's not a real deep sense of why you want to accomplish it, then you're likely not going to be driven to get it done. When you hit a hurdle or when it's tough, you know, you have to turn back to that why you're doing it in the first place to push you through all that.
Yeah. And I think something that you had mentioned kind of like in almost like a mentor kind of a way, like when you're saying, you know, get into a business and really kind of learn from people who have been there. Do you think that it would be worthwhile for someone that's kind of starting their own small business to work with somebody that's you know, owns a smaller business, or maybe even working with somebody that owns a larger business? Do you think there's like a difference there, or would it just kind of be similar no matter which path you decided to go down?
Well, I think like in the sporting goods realm, there'd probably be some value working for a Dick's maybe, but if your vision is to have more of a boutique kind of place, then I would go pick more of a boutique kind of place, because there's a lot of different challenges.
Gotcha.
For a true small business. But like, you know, in the case of where I am today, I jumped into I got recruited into insurance and by a mentor. His name is Steve Awney. And he kind of took me under his wing and showed me the ropes and taught me the business of insurance. And then he actually got an American Family Insurance agency, and I basically said, hey, I'd love to work under you at your American Family agency. And we both knew that the end game was for me to own my own agency. Okay. And so I watched him and how he ran the agency and how he managed his staff and how we worked together, and made my way to the opportunity presented itself for me to apply and compete to own my own agency. So I went through that process in 2019 and had to compete for it. And so I've kind of followed that principle myself. I went to square one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you were literally following your own advice just now, like, you know, finding that mentor, finding somebody that's been there, done that, and then, you know, having that goal of at the outset that you're going to own your own insurance. And so I think that that's like really important to have that goal. I really like that.
Yeah.
Well, and I've learned, so I hire a coach, right? And my coach, it's basically like hiring a mentor, an accountability partner.
Okay.
And I'm happy to mention his company if you're open to that. But what I've learned there is we do a lot of journaling. We've gotten into the habit of journaling, which is not an easy habit to pick up if that's not your thing. But it's all about understanding what your Disneyland is. So we spent some time thinking about, okay, what is your Disneyland? And that can be whatever age you want. But for me, it's, you know, when I'm 60 to 65, retiring, I want to be in shape enough to spend time with my grandkids. I want to teach my grandkids how to water ski. I want to hang out with them and go on hikes and biking rides, as I'm older. And I have a vision of what that house looks like and the lake that we're on and the boat that we have. And I can vision that dream Disneyland of someday in my life. And then, okay, well, what's it going to take financially, or what are the things that are going to have to happen for that to come true? So that's where I start with my goal setting. And then you back it down to, okay, to get there, this is where I need to be in 5 years. And then to get to where I want to be in 5 years, this is what needs to happen this year. And then to hit these goals this year, this what needs to happen in the quarter. So now I'm planning, I plan quarter by quarter. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
I break that quarter down to daily activities. Like, what do I need to do today to move me towards those goals? And then it's powerful and it works because I journal about it. And then I know why I want to achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shorter term, right? So right now I'm working on a quarter two goal. And so I have a daily plan and weekly plans of what I need to get accomplished to keep me moving towards those goals so I can get to my Disneyland.
Yep.
Awesome.
But if you don't know where you're going and why, it's harder, you know, otherwise you're just kind of winging it. And,
yep.
You know, you're working hard every day, but what are you working towards?
Right. Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm going to, I need to reevaluate some things here. I'm like, oh man, I do not have a Disneyland I'm building toward. What is wrong with me? Oh, that's it's awesome. Good stuff, I love dude, that.
Because you start realize it's so powerful. Like when you know where you're going and you know what you want,
mm-hmm.
and it's anything possible. Like it's crazy. Like what someone can accomplish in 5 years if they're being mm-hmm. purposeful about their life, you know?
No, absolutely.
Nate, you're gonna have your own podcast hosting company is what's gonna happen to you.
There we go. That's my Disneyland. Set up in the basement, you know, there we go. Soundproofed. That's the key. Oh, I love it. Oh man. Well, honestly, Paul, I think that's everything kind of we were looking for from you. And honestly, that's a fantastic message. I think that no matter if you're starting your own business or really just trying to break out from, you know, monotony and trying to figure your own way out, I think that that's excellent advice. I mean, I definitely learned something. Like I had never really conceptualized having that kind of end game goal be, you know, what are you building towards? What's your Disneyland? And I think that might be the tagline for this just because it's gold. Like it fits really well. So, you know, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have anything else you'd kind of like to add here or something that you may want to clarify at all?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, We kind of mentioned going into the water ski stuff, cause that's a little bit of part of my life.
But,
this kind of stuff applies to anything, like whether it's weight loss. So my water ski mm-hmm. goals that I set for myself, it's like, okay, I want to win this tournament. So I'm 47 years old, but I'm technically still a professional water skier because I compete in these cash prize tournaments every summer.
Wow. I was going to say, yeah.
That's what helps me get motivated to stay in shape and kind of stay active is these water ski competitions that I have to be prepared for. But
okay.
Knowing, okay, I want to win that tournament to be in the shape to win. I need to weigh this, you know, I need to be at this weight. So it helps me stay on, you know, not eating crazy. So I actually eat a little crazy in the off season. I try not to get too out of control, but right now I'm just getting back to really strict on my diet. But
okay.
If you're trying to lose weight just because you don't like what you see in the mirror and you think, man, I should lose some weight because I want to look better. Like to me, that's not powerful enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to know why you want to lose weight. Like it has to be deeper and more connected than that. And then until it snaps in your head of a real reason why, then I don't think it's going to work. It's not going to be powerful enough to make you stick to it. So whether it's, you know, you want to be able to walk when you're 90 or you don't want to die of a heart attack in your 60s, mm-hmm. or if it's because you want to, I don't know, run a marathon or whatever. Like I think having a why out there in front of you ties it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, cramming myself or not cramming myself in my jeans is probably my Disneyland weight loss wise. I would say so. No, that's awesome stuff there. And then with that, I'm just kind of curious, is that like a national water ski challenge or is it just kind of statewide or?
It's actually in the state of Wisconsin. The one I'm competing for now. So I've been in 6 world championships over the years and
wow,
18 national championships. Got a long history in water skiing, but the competition that I kind of play around with now, I'd like to say, is it's in Crandon, Wisconsin, outside of Rhinelander, and they've had this tournament since the mid 80s, and it's basically it's essentially the world championships of this style of barefoot water skiing. It's called footstock, and the boat. Two skiers go behind the boat at the same time and the boat drives in a big giant figure eight pattern and you have to stay on your side of the wake and you can't touch your butt. So you have to stay on your feet, barefoot water skiing, and it's a big double elimination bracket, and you stay on longer than the guy next to you, you advance. And, they keep whittling it down from 130 competitors down to the final two for the championship. And it's a pretty cool competition.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I'd never even heard of that. That's really cool.
It's some obscure thing. Like you're the best barefoot water skier in the world. You're still, you know, just a water skier. It's not like,
it makes you memorable though. And, you know, not only that, but you have a great last name to, you know, play around with, of course. And then, you know, Paul Stokes, yeah, the barefoot water skier. Nobody even, people that I know that know you, they don't even say, you know, the national, you know, because how many do we know? I mean, it's like, yeah, you're identified right away. Yeah, we know you. Yeah, we know who Paul is. Yeah, he water skis barefoot, doesn't he? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's great.
There was a time in my life where I was like, but there's so much more to me. I'm not just a water skier. Like, it bothered me a little bit, but then I got over it and realized that it's good for branding.
That's great for branding. Yeah. That and Stokes, get stoked. That's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. Man, he's a walking brand.
I am stoked to be on your podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm so appreciative. Oh, that's awesome. Alrighty, well, Paul, hey, it's been a pleasure having you on here. I was stoked as well to have you. it's been an absolute blast talking with you here. But yeah, I think that's about everything we have for you today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds good. It was fun. I hope we brought some value to some people.
Absolutely. Definitely brought some value to me too. The quarantine blues have got me down. I need to start getting scheduled on something or setting a goal up at all.
Right on.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for being on, Paul.
All right. Yep. Thank you guys. Yep.